This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I so enjoy talking with Ray Mondragon with Creation Science Fellowship. He is a scientist and a professor at Chafer Seminary here in Albuquerque, longtime engineer. Welcome, Ray, into the studio today. We're talking about creation and evolution, and you started a series with us here a few weeks ago about talking about the things that evolutionists believe supports the science of evolution, and what we've really found out in the process is there's not a whole lot of science to the concept of evolution. So thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. I count this a great privilege from my end, so I love coming in and helping out.
Well, Ray, the reason I enjoy it so much is because I take talking points that you bring up. So last time we met, and I'm going to let you cover that. Last time we met, you brought up seven things that are really necessary for evolution to take place scientifically. But I couldn't remember all seven, but I remember the concept of mutations. And, you know, mutations, and I kind of joked with you. I said, you know, a one-celled organism doesn't over many thousands of years, you name the number of years, it doesn't turn into an NFL football player.
Exactly.
Because there is no order to it. And so it
doesn't even turn into a one-celled creature.
That's right. And so, you know, the very fact that mutations are necessary for evolution to be scientific just brings me up to really understand that our God created this world, and for people to just say creationism is ridiculous is just not factual.
And it's not scientific.
It's not scientific at all. So thank you and welcome in, and let's get started. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about the issue of creation versus evolution? Now, today we're only going to have you for half an hour, so we've got to go quick through a lot of these points.
Right. Well, what I introduced last time were the three major issues, creation versus evolution, and we're going to deal with that in the next few interviews. And then another major issue is historical geology as opposed to a Genesis flood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole area itself. And
right.
Then the issue that a lot of believers, in fact, most believers have a hard time with is the issue of time. Is the biblical time frame really only thousands of years, or what we hear overwhelmingly is the earth billions of years old. So those are the three major issues. So we'll focus in on creation versus evolution, and what we're focusing in on now is basically the issue of evolution and the science behind it, or the lack of science.
Well, evolutionists are making claims, and the foundation of those claims from their so-called science is, for example, mutations are a mechanism through which evolution depends. And why is that not a dependable mechanism?
Well, what I gave last time were actually the results. I gave 7 points, the results of 160 years of research. And most of that research was done by evolutionists.
Mm.
In other words, creationists may have been involved on the fringes, but it was basically evolutionists desiring to confirm that mechanisms work.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out these seven things that, first of all, you need a lot of them. And in fact, the research says they're rare.
Yes.
You also need them to continue on a path such that you produce positive effects. Okay. Secondly, they're unpredictable. You can't predict
how these are mutations specifically.
Mutations.
They're very unpredictable.
Very unpredictable. And keep in mind, this is the mechanism. In other words, this is what is supposed to make evolution work.
See, I was always praying my whole life. You know, when I was 16 years old, I couldn't jump very high, and I was a basketball player. So I kept praying for that mutation so that I'd have a 36-inch vertical jump, but it never happened.
Well, I had the same vision as well. You were given a little bit more height than
I
was.
That's right. That's the advantage I had.
So thirdly, we said that you need beneficial mutations. And in fact, the majority, in fact, one researcher said you could consider them all harmful. They're all bad. 99%, he says.
And an example quickly is like a cancer. That's a mutation.
Yeah. In fact, that's one on the list. They're pathological as well.
Yes, yes.
So medically, they're harmful.
But the evolutionists say that in order for a mutation is the mechanism through which evolution takes place, And yet these seven things, they're rare, they're unpredictable, and they're harmful. Those are the first three. Go through the rest of the seven with us.
Well, there's also, and microbiologists recognize this, instead of progress, what mutations produce is what I described as genetic burden. Or it could be described as genetic entropy. In other words, there's a downward direction to progress of species rather than an upward direction, the very opposite. Mm-hmm. And this is the result of research. I mean, this is not theory. This is experiments. We said pathological, and also particularly when you have severe mutations, then the like kind reject their own. In other words, they don't reproduce. And in fact, many of the mutants are sterile as it is. So they don't pass on even negative qualities, much less beneficial ones, which are rare anyway.
Okay.
Then the last one is genetically, we know you lose information. Evolution requires that you have advancement. In other words, you have to gain information in the genetic gene pool. And in fact, you have the opposite. So that was the essence of what we talked about last time.
Well, I really appreciate you summarizing that so quickly. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about creation versus evolution, and we're going to have some questions that you're going to give us a new insight on, and so I'm so happy you're here. Thanks for being here. Ray Mondragon, he is with Creation Science Fellowship, who, by the way, meet the
third Tuesday of the month.
And they
last
meet
night.
Last night. And it's totally free to go get this kind of information, but in much greater depth. And it's held at a church over by Central and Louisiana.
Moon.
Oh, Moon. Okay, my fault.
Yep. Faith Bible Church.
Faith Bible Church. So more with Ray Mondragon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Depression. It's invisible. It can be devastating. And it's on the rise in America. Hopelessness is an epidemic. But that can change.
I can't tell you how many times in my life I thought the flood would overwhelm me, but Isaiah promised, if you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you.
That's Ben Corson, and concerning depression, he knows of what he speaks.
Depression is a real malady, and it's a real sickness. You know, we've gone through it, so many of us. But I think that's one of the most toxic sentences we can ever say. I'm going to live with depression. That's a bunch of bunk.
This book, Optimist Fits by Ben Corson, can be a lifeline for you or someone close to you who is struggling with depression. And we want to put it in your hands now. Let Ben Corson take you on his journey through the valley of the shadow and out into the sunshine of hope.
When you kneel before God, God will stand up for you.
Optimist Fits is yours for a generous donation of $35 or more today. Your support helps keep these teachings on air to connect more people to Jesus. So call now to give, 800-922-1888, or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long have spiders been around?
Chris, spiders have been around evidently since creation, and even now evolutionists are admitting they've been around for a long, long time. Recently, a very well-preserved fossil spider was found in rock, dated by evolutionists to be about 300 million years old. Yet it was identical to a modern-day spider, complete with eight legs and even the intricate web-spinning features of modern spiders. The point is, Chris, there's no such thing as a simple organism. They're all complex, right from creation, with all of the abilities that we now attribute to them. Spiders may have had a different lifestyle back before the curse, but there is no such thing as simple to complex evolution, even among spiders. They were created, just like it says, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship, professor at Chafer Seminary here in Albuquerque, and an acting engineer, scientist. He shares time with us about every 4 weeks talking about creation versus evolution, and we've been talking about mutations and how evolutionists claim that they are necessary and the essential mechanism for evolution to take place. And Ray has pretty much just debunked that they can't possibly contribute to there are no orderly mutations and things that are healthy for an organism. So again, something that shows it's not very scientific. I want to make things fun a little bit this afternoon. We have got some King and Country tickets. They have a concert this weekend here in Albuquerque, October 19th. We're going to give away two free tickets to King and Country. If you call and ask Ray a question, and you can ask him about anything having to do with evolution and creation and so forth, and Ray knows everything. I'm just kidding.
Right.
If he doesn't know, he'll find out the answer because he knows how to do that. 505-338-5790 is our phone number here for King and Country tickets and to get some information from Ray. Ray, what are we talking about now in this segment?
Well, we could have stopped right there last week because if evolution does not have a mechanism, then you don't even need to go any further.
Yes.
But there's also a lot of areas that the evolutionist uses to support his idea. And like I said last time, I don't even think it rises to the level of a theory, but it's a philosophical idea that has permeated our society.
And yeah, I mean, it's taught in our schools as though it's science.
And it's affected other areas outside of science as well. Politics, for example.
Yeah.
Literature and other areas as well. So if mutations don't work, and I gave the quotation from Ernst Mayr, who's an evolutionist, he said, it must not be forgotten that mutation is the ultimate source of all genetic variation found in natural populations and the only new material available for natural selection to work. So if it doesn't work, we could stop. But let's deal with the other areas that people
that
have
claim
to be confronted with so that they can give an answer.
Okay. Go forward.
Okay. Well, one of the areas that they use comes from comparative anatomy, kind of a branch of biology, basically. And the argument is you can observe, and we don't contest this observation, it's valid, you can observe similarities between different species. In fact, that's the basis for classification of going through the whole spectrum of not only plants but animals, is what are the common features, and you put them into these different classifications. For example, all mammals, you can look at the bone structure, and there's lots of similarities. Mammals will have a rib cage, they'll have a backbone, they'll have four limbs, etc. You can go down, you have a skull, you can list them. You can see in the different systems, the circulatory system, a lot of similarities, reproductive system, a lot of similarities.
Warm-blooded, those kind of things,
right.
Yes.
So, yes, I mean, obviously that's the case. That's how we classify. But then they take it one step further and say similarity implies an evolutionary continuity. In other words, a chain from one to the other.
Yes.
And that's the issue. But all of this evidence that they supply, I call it superficial evidence. And superficial because it's not hardcore science. And in fact, all of them have an alternative explanation, which would go counter to their idea.
So, Ray, we've all heard of what I will call the missing link. Some, at some date and time, the evolutionists would say that there was an ape or some type of animal that then mutated into a man. There was Cro-Magnon man or whatever you want to say, but they've never been able to find what they call the missing link.
Right.
And what you're saying right now is there is no missing link.
That's right.
You're never going to find it. And again, not something that's scientifically based.
Right. And even the fossil record, I intend to discuss that a little bit further later on, but even within that, evolutionists recognize that there are no missing links in any of the gaps between different particular species and different plant life as well.
Sure.
And that's what evolution requires. In other words, this slow progression from one to the other and then the continuation of that species and then more evolution later on. But it's not in the fossil record for one, and it's never been observed historically, secondly.
There's a lot of mathematicians and things, too, that are involved in these kind of predictions and theories. And I can't imagine a mathematician looking at the theory of evolution and going, yeah, I pretty much don't see how the math works out on this either. You can take as much time as you want. there's no way this is happening. No probabilities.
That's right. Probability is zero.
Yeah.
So the alternative explanation, and makes more sense, in fact, it's part of what we will say is evidence for a creator, is that the same idea, the similarity, can be explained by a common designer. Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned I'm an engineer, and yes, I spent some time in design, not a whole lot, but a little bit of time in design. And we will use things that we've used in the past in a new subdivision or whatever, and there'll be a similarity between one subdivision and another. It'll have a lot of common elements, right, because they work.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. Is there a possibility that evolution and creation could have happened, they could have both happened?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, and you used a term,
theistic evolution.
Theistic evolution. And you've kind of debunked that, because again, it goes back to these mutations and mm-hmm. other things that have to happen in a process or mechanism from one organism to, turn into something else.
Right.
Or grow into something.
Yeah. Theistic evolution doesn't work because it's a compromise by the believing community trying to give some credibility to the idea of a creator.
Mm.
But it doesn't work. So if evolution doesn't work, then there's no need for that compromise. And in fact, it's a compromise to begin with, and it's not even a good one. So I would not encourage anyone to entertain those joining together of the two.
What's the next step in an evolutionist, if they're in here in the room trying to discuss this with us? What's their next proof point that they're going to present to us?
Well, another area that they would use, and by the way, this kind of an updated version that you'll hear more about mm-hmm. in the media. It's the same idea of similarity means that you have common ancestry. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You probably heard the updated version is that 99% or 95%, I think that's the number that they use, of the DNA in primates you can find in humans.
Mm.
It's the same argument.
Yeah.
Except it's at the microbiological level. But it has the same issues and the same problems. The alternative to that is, and the answer is the same. You have a similar designer that's going to take similar structures because they work.
Mm-hmm.
And impose them or utilize them in the creation of new creatures.
But Ray, evolution doesn't just mean that an ape turned into a man. It means that an amoeba turned into a man.
Well,
and
yeah.
So if you go look at the DNA of a one-celled living organism today, that DNA is nothing like a mammal.
That's right.
You know, that's why I just don't understand why a science teacher out of high school can look at evolution and say, yeah, this is something I should teach. Now, I do understand that the public schools won't let you teach creationism.
Right.
And that is a sad thing. In fact, I think I mentioned this before.
It limits science, actually.
It does. And I mentioned to you that a friend of ours and a longtime friend of New Mexico, Mark Mathis, his wife Diane used to be the anchor at KOAT with Dick Niffing for many years. Very smart. Very on top of things. He had a documentary that he put together called Expelled.
Right.
And the whole gist of his entire presentation is that if you're a creation scientist and you have all the knowledge and all the background and you may be the top scientist in the world in your area of expertise, you will not be hired by a major university because you believe in creationism.
Right. And that just proves that what we're dealing with is worldviews. We're not dealing with science. Because if you look strictly at science, you're going to find out that really the only option is there has to be an intelligent designer at least.
Ray, we have just a short segment left. We got to go to some commercials. We'll be right back with Ray Mondragon. Stay with us.
Change is inevitable, like the weather. Is your home's heating system running? Remove dampener, check filter, inspect compartments. Wait, I might have to get up on the roof for all this? Inspect heat changer, shut down furnace, properly clean flame sensor. Wait, how do I do that again? Turn on gas valve and check for leaks. Wait, slow down. Gas leaks? Check pilot assembly tubes. Verify blower compartment door is closed. Ready or not, change is coming. When it does, call Bosque Heating and Cooling at 444-7200. That's 444-7200. We'd love to help.
Oh, hey, Heidi. What's happening?
Oh, nothing. Just trying to think
think of what to do on the 31st.
Well, hey, lucky for you, a little bird told me that Calvary has got some pretty sweet plans for a fun, safe Halloween alternative event, and it's happening at both the Osuna and the Westside campuses.
Please tell me there's going to be some candy.
Well, there's going to be candy, popcorn, games, food, face painting, bouncy houses, prizes, and more.
When is it again?
It's coming up here on October 31st, so that's a Thursday. And don't forget, it is happening at both the Osuna and Westside campuses. Details can be found online at calvarynm.church.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I hope it is encouraging to you listening to the program today with Ray Mondragon from Creation Science Fellowship to hear someone actually make some scientific comments about what the claims are of evolution, because the simplicity of it is, and this isn't even complicated, this is something I can understand, Ray. Again, going back to, can a one-celled organism evolve into a human being? And the simple answer is no. That's not, there is nothing scientific about that. There's no claim that cannot be argued. And the funny thing is, you've already shared with us some quotes from evolutionists themselves,
right,
that are making statements about mutations, for example, and disproving their own so-called theory.
Right.
Ray, is there anything in creation that would indicate to you that the Creator messed up?
Absolutely nothing. Simple answer. The explanation for what appears to be faulty or faulty design or problems with creatures, mm-hmm, is what the Bible describes. In fact, science continually confirms what we see in the early chapters of the book of Genesis. There was a fall of mankind that resulted in not just man being affected, but all the creation. And that's in Genesis 3. It's clear, crystal clear in Genesis 3 that the entire creation was, in fact, affected.
So we live in a fallen world.
We live in a fallen world, and we're seeing the effects, and it's not getting any better. In fact, it appears, and I believe, that God imposed the second law of thermodynamics at the fall of mankind. So everything is unwinding rather than progressing in an evolutionary way.
You're right. I know that I've heard evolutionists argue that the world is getting better. And that doesn't just mean human beings. I always find that really funny, because you would think that with all the knowledge and everything that mankind has, that by now we'd be more loving toward each other and taking care, mm-hmm, of each other. And the truth is, when you look at the evil and the wars and everything around the world, if you even look at Republicans and Democrats, it's not getting better.
No.
You know, and really, I think that it is possible that human beings can love each other.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely believe that. I believe that Democrats and Republicans can work together. Are we ever going to agree on everything? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's necessary for us to work together.
Right.
And have political commentators. But this all ties together. So,
Ray,
we've just got a couple more minutes. Give us one more of the arguments that evolutionists try to make.
Probably the best argument, the second best after the similarity of structures implies common ancestry. There's also, they will give you this idea of microevolution. That's the word that they would use.
Mm.
And I would encourage believers not to use that terminology, because you're already falling into their trap. And the idea is, when they say microevolution, there are changes that are observable that you can observe. In other words, the breeding of certain species, you're going to get certain characteristics if you breed them.
Mm.
That's what they describe as microevolution. We would describe it as variation that the Creator built into the DNA. And now you are emphasizing those aspects of the DNA, and they're coming out as characteristics that you can observe. But they'd make the jump. Okay, if you can see, and we would agree, what they call microevolution, we would call variation. If you can observe it, then doesn't it make sense? Then in a longer period of time, long range, you can see macroevolution. So by using the word microevolution, they've sucked you in, and now they just change the prefix, and now they use that as an argument.
Well, I can see how this would all get very confusing for lay people that are, you know, listening to somebody that knows a lot of scientific jargon.
Mm-hmm.
But when you break it down, there is actually no logic to it. it doesn't stand up. And I always go back to that concept of the scientific method. It's my understanding the scientific method basically means that you could, if a one-celled organism, if elements of this world, chemicals and such, combined in a primordial ooze and formed a living organism, that ought to be something you could duplicate in a laboratory.
Right, or observe.
Observe, and it absolutely is not.
Right.
You can't see that happening. Now, the funny thing is, you can take a one-celled organism today, like a paramecium or whatever, or a bacteria, and you can steal DNA from it and grow it over here. But that's something that God's already created and already made living.
Right.
That's not creating life.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have a thought now about what you just talked about. I remember some scriptures about how the Bible describes grafting olive branches, primarily Gentiles, into the lineage of Christ. And so there's already been some recognition that you can graft different forms of living organisms together and they can grow together.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and that's variation. But all of that, microbiologists will tell you, and I'm talking about unbelieving microbiologists, all of that is already built in to the DNA, and you're just seeing it manifested in the end product of the creature itself. Mm. But you don't see a jump from one species to another.
Right.
You have boundaries within the DNA that prevents that, and biologists are aware of that. So that undermines this whole argument.
So is the reason that you can't go to a school board and take a half an hour? It wouldn't even take a half an hour to present this information. You go before a school board. I know you've tried to do this and you say, look, teaching evolution is ridiculous. That's the only word I can bring up. I mean, it is not, it doesn't rise to the level of even a theory. It absolutely has been disproven. So is the reason they won't stop teaching it because they don't have a substitute theory that doesn't have something to do with God?
You named it. That's it.
So that's really a spiritual issue.
Absolutely.
Point.
Yep.
Yeah. Ray, how can people get in touch with you if they have further questions?
Well, they could email me at raym@swcp.com, or they can visit my website at forhisglorynm.com. And a lot of creation materials are on the site, and I've got links to other very good organizations as well.
Well, Ray, we're going to have you back a little bit later in the month, and we really appreciate you coming in and spending the time with us, because
my privilege.
I wish we had more time. I mean, if we had a two-hour show, you would never run out of things to say. So, Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship.
We are cramming.
Yeah, don't forget that Creation Science Fellowship meets the third Tuesday of every month.
And I'll be the speaker next month,
by the way. At Faith November. Bible Church. And that Faith Bible Church is on the corner of Louisiana and Central.
No, Central and Moon.
I'm sorry. Why do I keep saying Louisiana? I got it stuck in my brain.
Sure.
I have a church that I'm picturing, and I'm just messed up. So
right.
Moon Central, 9600 Central is the address of Faith Bible Church. Again, it's free, 7 p.m.
Yes.
And you go for an hour, hour and a half.
The talks are about an hour, but usually they spill over.
Well, and you're there to answer questions.
And there's Q&A as well.
Yeah.
So about 2 hours.
Really a special time to just get together and get your basic questions answered. A nice evening out. Go get yourself some coffee and go to Creation Science Fellowship. So, Ray, thanks so much for joining us.